give them your welcome. We express appreciation for you being here. Get together. We're very thankful for your attendance very, very much. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, ask my brethren to look around and make sure those that are visiting with us have a bulletin. And please share. Oh, I think Jeff is going to take care of that. There we go. All right. So welcome again. We're always good. We're glad to get together. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us in Psalm 11. I'm going to key on verse 3, where the question is asked, if the foundations are destroyed, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? We'll try to answer that question this morning. Give you some definitions from the text itself first, and then I've listed 5 different things that we can do as individuals, even as a congregation of God's people. The list could be extended, but I'll just list these 5 for our consideration this morning. So we're going to ask the same question in light of the moral decline that we see in our nation and our world today. Foundations are destroyed. What can we do? What can we do? By definition of foundations, I'm suggesting it's fundamental, foundational that God exists. That His Word is true. That God has an eternal purpose. That there's the church. It's fundamental and foundational to have a home as God would have it. It's fundamental that we have a civil society, or morals, good manners, that we love one another. Foundations. Those are destroyed. What can we do? There's a song done in our hymnal, and it has the word foundation in it. The title of the song is How Firm a Foundation. It's in number 457 in your book. But the song hymn writer captures what we're striving to suggest or say this morning. He begins by saying, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. That's fundamental. Foundational. A firm foundation is laid out. Word. So he says, what more can we say than to you He has said? Right. God's word. You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. He says in the second stanza, fear not, I'm with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. That's fundamental, isn't it? I'm viewing the foundations being destroyed and I'm dismayed or disheartened. What can I do? Oh, Jesus says, fear not. I'm with you. He says, I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. That's fundamental. That's foundational, our faith in God. When we think about it being, it means the foundations are being attacked. They're being undermined or discredited. People in our world or our nation are trying to tear down fundamentals, foundational things that are in God's Word. Move them. Trying to bring them to ruin. Demolish. Yeah, so the psalmist is saying if the foundations are destroyed, I just put in your notes about Hollywood. There's others. But certainly Hollywood has an influence with its movies and its television. It's language that is just broadcast in our ears over and over again every day. They preach a message that is in many ways striving to undermine and and attack and destroy fundamentals, foundational things. Oh, listen to some of the songs. No, don't do that. Don't listen to some of those songs. Then there's laws. Laws are being passed that undermine foundations. Wow. Our nation. In a letter to the editor recently, this one goes back to December. But this person writes, somebody from Santee. He said, I would have no problem if all governments outlawed religious training of every kind. I'd have no problem. Undermining the foundations. He says, religious belief makes people delusional. Did you know that? It makes people crazy, he said. So shut down Sunday schools, madrasas, that's School for Islamic Studies. Shut down Bible study and yeshivas, that's a school for Jewish rabbinical studies. Said it would take several generations to realize the benefits, but the world would become more civilized and peaceful if you shut down all that Bible study. He said it's religious training that makes these people inhumane. Shut down Bible study, no matter what name you choose to call it. Sorry. Attacking the foundations. The fundamentals. So another letter. This one goes back to September. God saved it. This is from Escondido. There's a person could be moral, emphatic, and a positive member of society without leaning on an archaic and irrational belief system which obscures the truth and becomes a substitute for common sense. I'm leaning on an archaic and irrational belief system. Is something untrue just because it's archaic? Am I archaic because I'm old? Is the Bible archaic? Irrational? Does the Bible obscure the truth? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Wow. His commentary is an attack on the foundations. The fundamentals. What can the righteous do? The righteous. That's those who do that which is right. They do things rightly and justly and honestly. Those that are righteous are those that are in step with the Master. The righteous are those who are obedient to God's Word. The righteous are those who are in harmony with God. Who come to God God's way. The righteous. So if the foundations are destroyed, undermined, attacked, what can the righteous do? In other words, is there an activity that I can perform? Is there a task that I can be involved in? Is there something that I can practice? Is there a work for me? Is there something that I can achieve? Yeah. Five things in our lesson this morning. What can the righteous do? Number one, it's in the text. In Psalm 11, verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. I can do that. Even when the foundations are being destroyed. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm certainly not going to trust Hollywood. I'm not going to trust kings and those in authority. I'm not going to trust political leaders. I'm not going to trust corporations. I'm not going to put my trust in a self-proclaiming guru. I'm not going to put my trust in a self-interest group or a fad or majority rule or what society presents. put my trust in the Lord. Solomon said, my son, do not forget my law. In other words, God's law. Don't forget it. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. The word of God. In verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, meaning God. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Boy, that's a worldly phrase. People that are wise in their own eyes. But fear the Lord and depart from evil. Number one, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Number two, I want to continue, remain steadfast in Christian living. There's an Old Testament story that you're very familiar with. There's a principle that's found in the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and I put some of these in your notes if you follow the story. But God saw that their sin was very grievous or grave. So God was going to destroy it. Is America's sin grave? Grievous? In verse 23 of our story, Abraham came near and said to God, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. In verse 28, he says, suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Well, Abraham keeps pleading with God because then the number gets lower. Then he said, how about 40 and then 30 and then 20? Don't destroy the city if I can find 20. Then it gets down to 10 in verse 32 of Genesis chapter 18. So then Abraham said, let not the Lord be angry. I'll speak but once more. Suppose 10 be found there. God said, I'll not destroy it for the sake of 10. Now think about that. The presence, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I can trust in the Lord, and I can live righteously. Fulfill my obligation to God. Now you know the rest of the story. In Genesis 19, verse 24, the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 26, when Lot and his family fled the city, they were told not to look back. Remember that. Oh, but it says, but Lot's wife looked back behind him. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Teacher, little folks. And the Bible school teacher was telling this story about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's always Johnny, isn't it, in the story? Mm-hmm. Little Johnny raises his hand. Mm-hmm. Teacher calls on him and he said, yes, Johnny. And he says, one day last week, my mom was driving us to school. And she turned back and looked at us and turned into a telephone. Don't look back. Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin, that's a reproach to any people. I need to live right, regardless of what the world does. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I can live right. Still. The Lord tests the righteous. So now I need to be ready to stand the test. We're being tested, aren't we? On every side. Some more than others. But we will be tested. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, Paul began by saying, yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, and well, my hand goes up, I desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, and the next phrase, shall suffer persecution. Now keep your hand up. Yeah. I'll suffer persecution. In 1 Peter 4, verse 16, Peter said, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, don't be ashamed. In other words, don't bail out. When the foundations are being destroyed, don't give up. Don't weaken. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Be ready to stand the test. There was a song that in our hymnal we had previously. The song is titled, Ready to Suffer. I have to tell you, my father-in-law, he passed away about 12 years ago. But he was leading singing when I was scheduled to preach. And he got up, and for some reason, he announced the song before the sermon. And so he said, now before Brian brings us the lesson, let's stand and sing, ready to suffer. But the hymn writer captured the point of this here. You know, we want to stand the test. He said, ready to suffer grief or pain. Ready to stand the test. Ready to go, ready to bear. Ready to watch and pray. Ready to stand aside and give till He shall clear the way. Ready to speak. Ready to warn. Ready our souls to yearn. Ready in life, ready in death. Ready for His return. The chorus, ready to go, ready to stay. Ready my place to fill. Ready for service, lowly or great. Ready to do His will. Ready. The foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? I can stand firm in faith. I can still let others know to whom I belong. I can still let others know on whose side I stand. I can be ready when the foundations are being destroyed. Number four, pray for our world leaders. 1 Timothy 2, beginning of verse 1. Paul says, therefore, I exhort. There must be something important. Well, I want to say, pay attention. I exhort. First of all, the supplications, prayers, intercessions, the giving of thanks, be made known for all men. For kings and all who are in authority. And then he says, all right, what's the content of my prayer? For all these in authority, for our government leaders, nationally and worldwide, what am I praying for? They're my enemies. They're undermining the foundations. Pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's my prayer. When they attack the foundations, God, I pray for them that they make decisions that will help me to lead a quiet and peaceful life. That we may continue to assemble as a congregation of God's people to give Him worship and praise without threat. I need to pray for world leaders. The last one, preach the gospel. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. No, I'm not ashamed. Because it's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. God's power. You see, brethren, nations will change when citizens change. And citizens will change when hearts change. And hearts are changed by conversion. And conversion comes by preaching the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to everyone who believes. So we close with that great commission that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Go everywhere. Go everywhere. Preach the gospel to every creature. We close with these five things. We need to make the application. At the close of each lesson, we sing what we call a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. It's a hymn that provides you with time to reflect upon your relationship with God. And if it's not right, we have that opportunity to make it right as a congregation here. We plead with you, we pray for you. Procedure, if you will, or steps. Number one, for you to become a Christian and stand on God's side, you'll need to hear the gospel, the good news. That's why he said, go into all the world, preach. You need to be taught. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe on someone you haven't heard? That's right. I have to hear. So we teach and we preach. Second, you'll want to believe the message that's being taught, the Word of God. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to do that. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. I don't want to do that. I've heard the good news, and I believe it. What Jesus added something else. So number three, Jesus said, repent. Turn your life around. Turn it toward God in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I can't just believe. Now I've got to turn my life toward God. I need to repent. Then number four, you want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him a Jesus message. In Acts chapter 8. He stopped Philip in his sermon. He said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, and when they were gone, Philip baptized him. They come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. We say it every time. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Every time. The lost coin is found, they rejoice. The lost sheep is found, they rejoice. The prodigal son comes home, they rejoice. Salvation is always a case of rejoicing. One sinner repents, the angels rejoice. It's always an occasion of rejoicing. You realize we have the ability to make heaven rejoice by staying on God's side. Heaven rejoices when we do that which is right. That's the lesson. So if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Do right. Do right. If you're subject to that invitation, just simply come and have a seat beside me at the close of the study. Just let your request be known. We can certainly honor that. We pray with you, pray for you. So let's do that. So let's stand together. We'll say the song again. It says, so loud and important. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come while we're singing this song.